Welcome to Shoulders Down, a podcast about intuitive eating and living. I'm your host, Leah Kern, and I'm an anti-diet dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor. In this podcast, you will learn to harness your body's innate wisdom to govern not just how you eat, but also how you live. It is my mission to help you heal your relationship with food and body so you can live your most aligned and fulfilling life. Welcome, and I'm so glad that you're here. Hello, and welcome back to Shoulders Down. For today's episode, it's going to be a little bit different and kind of a quicker episode, a shorter episode, because I have a lot going on right now, which I will share more with you in a second. But for today's episode, it's going to be a Q&A style episode. So if you're new here, there is a listener question segment of this podcast that happens most weeks, but sometimes I don't have the bandwidth for it. And pretty much you can submit a question for a chance to have it answered in an upcoming episode. And if it feels like a question that's aligned with the kind of thing that I talk about, then I will tackle it here on the podcast. So today we are just going to tackle a few listener questions since they've kind of piled up and I want to knock out a few of them in one go. So I've chosen a few listener questions to include in this episode, and we'll chat through them. And of course, if you have a question that you want to submit for a chance to have it answered on an upcoming episode, either before the episode in the intro or a Q&A episode just like this, which we'll do more of in the future, you can submit it via the link in the show notes. I absolutely love getting questions from you. I know that intuitive eating can be kind of like easier on paper or seem easier on paper, but then as you're trying to integrate the framework into your life, often questions can and will come up. So I love to offer this free opportunity to get some of your questions answered. So before we dive into the listener questions segment of today's podcast, I want to share some updates going on here at Leah Kern Nutrition. So if you are on my newsletter, you heard about this yesterday. If you're listening today, the day the episode airs on Tuesday, then you heard about this yesterday, Monday, which is the day that my weekly newsletter goes out. I have been kind of teasing something that I've been working on for months now. And yesterday was the day I told my newsletter community finally about what I've been working on. And today is the day I'm going to be sharing with you. So I am so, so excited to share with you the new offering that I've been working on. So I cannot wait to introduce you to my baby, the project I've been working on for months now, which is my self-paced program. It's essentially a course, and it's so much more than a course. Like, I was just talking about this with my mentor. I hesitate to even call it a course because it is so much more in depth than a course, and it's much more of an experience or a journey. So I can't wait to introduce you to The Return. The Return is the name of my new program, my new offering. And the name is really born of this idea of when I think about intuitive eating, I think about returning to your body's innate power and wisdom. And that is exactly what this program was designed to help you do. So The Return is a proven, evidence-based, self-paced, step-by-step experience for truth seekers who desire a fulfilling, spiritual, and awe-inspiring relationship with food and body. So if you have been wanting to get more support on your intuitive eating journey, but perhaps one-to-one coaching hasn't felt right, maybe the time investment or the financial investment just felt like too much, this is exactly why I created The Return. So The Return takes the exact process that I have now used with dozens of clients in my one-to-one program, which is called the Embodied Method, by the way. And I have taken that process, which is a proven process by now, because so many clients have walked through my one-to-one coaching program and really gotten to experience this peace with food and body on the other side. So The Return takes the exact process and method that I use with my one-to-one clients and puts it into video module format for you to go through it at your own pace and to experience the tools and support that I provide in one-to-one kind of on your own time. And this is really intimate work, healing your relationship with food and body. So for some people, one-to-one is too intimate, whether it's about not feeling comfortable sharing truly what's been going on or feeling shame. Or like I said, there could be the other barriers such as the financial investment, the time investment. And so I am so excited to be able to offer something that reaches the folks who couldn't do one-to-one or didn't want to or didn't feel comfortable doing one-to-one, but still wanted support on their intuitive eating journey, on their relationship with food. So I'm obsessed with the name. The return is exactly what this work is. It is returning to your connection with your body, the way that you were always meant to feel in your body and experience food and experience life before diet culture got a hold of you. So this is a return to your body's innate wisdom, your cues, when you have maybe been living for years according to diet culture's rules and diet culture signals instead of your own internal wisdom. I will jabber on about this for so long if I don't stop myself, but clearly you can tell I'm so, so, so excited. So the doors are not open yet. I'm just announcing it now. Actually, I'm like not even fully done recording modules. I just really value transparency and didn't want to keep it a surprise any longer. I wanted to be able to take you behind the scenes and share with you more about the creation and kind of like the inspiration behind the idea and all these pieces. So I'm so happy to like not have this as a secret anymore and to get to just like share with you, because yeah, one of my values is transparency and it feels great to get to just like have that transparency with you. I also want to be really clear that this experience is very different than one-to-one coaching in that it doesn't have the same component of one-to-one support. Obviously, one-to-one coaching is such in-depth one-to-one support, and obviously it's not for everyone, right? Like some people need that one-to-one support. They want to be able to have someone walk with them every step of the journey. And maybe they don't feel as comfortable with the self-paced video module format. So there is still certainly a place for one-to-one. And I still absolutely love the work I get to do with my one-to-one clients. So if you're hearing all of this and you're like, that's just not me, like I would need more of the one-to-one support, know that that remains an option. And all of the information that you need to inquire about like either of these services is going to be in the link to the show notes. So if you are like, oh my gosh, this self-paced program sounds right up my alley, I want to know more about the return, I want to stay in the loop, you are going to want to make sure you get on the waitlist. So there's a link in the show notes to the waitlist. The folks who join the waitlist will have an exclusive waitlist only discount, $100 off the return once the doors open. So the doors aren't opening for a few weeks, but you definitely want to make sure you get on the waitlist, because that is seriously such an amazing value for the content that you'll be getting access to. It's the best value I'll ever be offering the return at. So definitely make sure you get on the waitlist if you're even a little bit interested. There's no strings attached. It just helps to keep you in the loop, and it will give you that coupon code to use for that exclusive waitlist only discount if you do decide to join when the doors open. So that is the big thing I've been working on and that I'm so excited to share with you. I cannot wait to bring you along for the journey and tell you more about like what's been going into the creation of this and, you know, what the modules are and all those beautiful things. So now let's get to the listener question portion of this episode. So I want to give my standard disclaimer before we go any further, which is that all content in this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. The information and education provided is not intended or implied to supplement or replace professional medical treatment, advice, and or diagnoses. And then, of course, I just like to add that I'm only one person with one lived experience. So I encourage you to seek out insights from folks with other lived experiences, as well as consulting your own inner wisdom. So with that, let's look at a few listener questions. So the first one comes from a listener named Alexa, and she says, how does hydration and making sure I drink enough water during my busy day intersect with intuitive eating? This is a great question. Thank you so much for submitting this, Alexa. So when it comes to hydration, it's the kind of thing we don't talk about so much, but there are these like subtle kind of diet culture messaging around hydration. And it's so sneaky because it's just like, oh, it's just hydrating. Like, it's not about weight loss, or it's not about, I don't know, manipulating the size or shape of your body. Like, how could it be a bad thing? And it's not that it's a bad thing. It's just that sometimes these companies with, you know, a certain motive or agenda will put out information, you know, and put out marketing material to sort of convince you that you need to like obsess over hydration, or you really need to like drink an obscene amount of water in order to be hydrated, or you need a certain electrolyte powder. I see these things like Liquid IV and other kind of like trendy hydration. Oh my God, there's that other thing. Like, people are literally getting like IV drips now. I keep getting these targeted ads. And there's a lot of people trying to like capitalize on this market that is like convincing you that hydration needs to be like fancy and elaborate in order to be like working. And as you can probably guess, this just isn't true. We don't have to obsess over hydration. We don't need all these like fancy powders and IV drips. Obviously, like, I'm speaking in general here. Obviously, if you're in the hospital and you have some kind of like condition where you are shut, like, you know, suffering from dehydration, then of course an IV can really serve you. I'm talking about these like trendy Instagram IV things I've been seeing about, like, I don't even know what it's called, but they're like advertising, you know, I think that they're advertising it like for hangovers, that like you can come get an IV at your house, but they're also advertising it just as like a daily thing. And then there's that other brand, Liquid IV, which is like kind of sending the similar message. And at the end of the day, you guys, your body will communicate with you and will give you cues about the amount of hydration or fluids that you need. So Alexa, in the case of your question, I hear you saying like, how does hydration and making sure you drink enough water intersect with intuitive eating, especially in the case of like having a really busy day? So I think the answer to this question is kind of like anticlimactic, and like it's really just a matter of checking in with yourself and noticing like, oh, do I feel like signs of thirst? And you know, some people say, oh, when you're thirsty, it's too late. I don't think it's so black and white. I do think that like if you're feeling thirst, there could have been maybe like earlier signs that you can learn to tune into before it gets to the point of like extreme thirst, like that feeling of like you just need water. Like, I'm thinking of that SpongeBob episode where who is it? Sandy is like, SpongeBob, water, water, I need water. Is it Sandy? No, I'm doubting myself, but I don't know. I just think of that episode, and like, we don't want you to get to that point, obviously. And maybe that happens to you a lot right now, which would be kind of like common if you're coming from this like numbed out diet culture background. And so it would take practice to start to feel like earlier signs. And like an even later sign could be like a headache. And so tuning into like what thirst feels like before it gets to that point, there certainly could be some work with connecting to your body and its cues there. But this isn't necessarily something that I think we need to like obsess over and like focus on so much. Naturally, your body will send you cues for, you know, when you're thirsty. And the official recommendation, like nutrition recommendation with, when it comes to fluids, is drink to thirst. Like, that's it. You don't have to be like getting ahead of it and like drinking obscene amounts of water. Your body can only handle so much at a time. So this will really just cause you to have to like pee a lot more if you give your body, you know, much more than its capacity, the amount that it needs. I see these people walking around with these like giant water bottles, like giant, like gallons. And like, I don't know their motivation. I don't know why they're doing this. Sometimes it just seems like a little silly and like really performative. Though like if you have a giant water bottle, I'm obviously not judging you. I just wonder sometimes if it comes from this diet culture background of like, you know, you got to get all this water in. And I know that there are sometimes these threads in diet culture about like, drink water so you don't eat, because like water makes you feel full, but like there is no tricking out your hunger. If you're hungry, yeah, the water might give you like a superficial sense of fullness, but you will still continue to get, you know, signs of hunger. And if you keep choosing not to honor that, you will ultimately have this like backlash eating where you eat way past comfortable fullness because your body is trying to correct from the period of time that you ignored its hunger cues. So all of that is to say, Alexa, the answer to this question is kind of anticlimactic. Drink to thirst. Like, there is no special thing here. Like, there is no magic answer. I will say you do not need liquid IV. You do not need these trendy different powders. If you really feel that you either like enjoy the taste or I don't know, maybe you feel like dehydrated from being sick or hungover and you feel that they help you, then who am I to take that from you? I do just want you to know that like these things are not necessary. I will share personally, I don't go anywhere near that stuff. I think it's a scam. I think they're not necessary. Even if I am sick or hungover, maybe I would choose like a Gatorade just to get some like carbon because there's some sugar in it. But I do not go for these like trendy Instagram powdered hydration branded type things. Doesn't mean you can't. I'm just sharing my own experience here. So Alexa, if you've been confused about hydration, you didn't like explicitly say that in your question, I would share that like, yeah, it makes sense why, because there's so much marketing around hydration that like feels so life or death and like that there's like a certain formula to it. And this is just like another flavor of diet culture. Ultimately, you do not need to subscribe to this like outside metric. You don't need to hit a certain tick mark on a water bottle. You don't need to, you know, hit a certain amount of cups in a day. Just like you don't need to obsess over like this 10,000 step metric for steps. You can drink the amount of water and fluids that feels good in your body and know that also like things don't exist in a vacuum, like in a 24-hour vacuum. Perhaps you didn't drink as much fluids yesterday and today you feel thirstier or vice versa. Perhaps you had a really hydrated day yesterday and today you notice your body doesn't ask for as much. Or in another way to think of this is like maybe you had, you know, a lot more like fresh hydrating foods, like fruits, vegetables, those kind of things, or even like soups and smoothies, those kind of things. And then you notice you aren't drinking as much of your water bottle. Well, cool. Your body's really smart and it probably got more of its fluids from the soups and smoothies and fruits and vegetables that day. So this is why we don't have to obsess. Our bodies are really smart. If anything that, you know, if there's anything that you want to kind of like practice here, it would just be like tuning into your body in general, because of course it's not comfortable to only notice thirst when it's kind of like to a place of being uncomfortable. Perhaps it's a headache or dizziness. So I would encourage you to make a practice of just checking in of like, how am I feeling in my body right now? Is there anything that I need? Perhaps some water, this kind of thing. Just like you would check in with like, how am I feeling hunger fullness wise? Do I need a snack? Is it time for a meal? These kind of things. So making a regular practice of checking in with your body is always going to be beneficial. And the same goes for hydration. So hope that's helpful, Alexa. Try not to overthink this and try to recognize when you're being marketed to in this way of like kind of these messages getting in your head of like, oh, you have to like count how much fluids you drink, or you need to obsess over, you know, hitting a certain tick mark on this water, this, you know, fancy branded water bottle. You don't. Your body can be trusted. It's just a matter of learning to tune into its cues in order to get its needs for fluids met. So thanks again for that great question. Good luck, Alexa, navigating this hydration talk. And it's a great topic that we haven't really talked through yet. Okay, so next question comes from Kayla. She says, hi, Leah. What kind of advice do you have for those who struggle with intuitive eating while sick? I got sick with COVID and noticed one of my most prevalent symptoms was a loss of appetite. I definitely feel like I have been capitalizing on the lack of hunger cues. And even when they've started coming back as I recover, I've been leading into old thought patterns and beliefs about food and eating. All of it feels extremely bad. And despite being self-aware of the issue, I'm struggling to treat myself. How do you cope with negative thoughts surrounding eating when struggling through a bout of illness? What do you suggest people experiencing a sickness do to better employ intuitive eating ideas into their recovery? Great question, Kayla. Thank you so much for this question. So what I love to start with and with this kind of question is the reminder that one of the official definitions of intuitive eating is that it is a self-care framework that is a dynamic interplay between instinct, emotion, and logic. So instinct equals intuition, right? This is what people often think of when they think of intuitive eating, of like, just listen to your body. However, that's actually only one part of intuitive eating. There's also this element of tuning into logic and also tuning into emotion. So when you are sick, your intuition is actually not reliable. This is one of those times where you have to be like, oh, okay, logically, I know that I have a major attunement disruptor going on right now, which is the fact that I am sick. So because I'm sick, this is like what your internal dialogue might sound like, by the way, because I'm sick, my hunger and fullness cues are actually not reliable. One metaphor I like to use here is it's like if you had a gas gauge meter on your car and it was like broken, this would be like the gas gauge meter being stuck on full. So like even if you drove your car a few miles or, you know, 100 miles, it would still say that the tank is on full, but you would know logically, well, it's obviously not full. It's just that the gas gauge meter is broken and I can't trust it right now. Similarly with hunger fullness, you can think of like the hunger fullness meter in your body. Often when we get sick, it can be like kind of quote unquote stuck on full in the sense that like you just might not feel hungry, whether that's from like the post nasal drip or in the case of something like COVID, perhaps like the loss of taste makes you not hungry, or just like in general, having a fever, like your body's just like working hard to fight something. So it's food isn't sounding so appetizing. So though you might not feel hunger cues, this is one of those times where it's really important to remind yourself of like my body still needs fuel in order to fight off whatever sickness it is I have right now. My body needs fuel for my immune system. It needs fuel to clear whatever bacteria or virus it's fighting right now. And so this is a time when you would actually have to override your cues and say, I know I can't trust my hunger fullness meter right now. I need to choose to eat from a place of self-care to give my body fuel, even though I don't have the cues for it right now. So this is the kind of like framework I would encourage you to lean into, and remember that like this is going to be a time where you're much more leaning on logic as opposed to most of the time with intuitive eating, you're leaning into intuition. So in terms of the aspect of this question that's about like feeling low-key kind of like happy, like you say, capitalizing on the lack of hunger cues because of probably like, I'm guessing from this question, it's like the old kind of diet culture or eating disorder or disordered eating thoughts, which sounds something like, ooh, I'm sick, I'm not eating as much, like that's good, that means I might lose weight. I think one, it's really reflective of you to like notice that and call yourself out on that. And it starts with awareness. So that's a win there, Kayla, that you even have that awareness that you're feeling like this desire to capitalize on the sickness as a socially acceptable excuse to avoid eating. I would kind of like validate that for yourself of like, yep, I'm noticing sort of an old thought come up here, and reframe. So it could sound like something like, ooh, I'm noticing that old demon that's like, yes, we're not eating, this is good, you know, we're gonna shrink ourselves and lack of eating fewer calories means we're doing better, whatever the old demon is saying, and say like, okay, it's valid that these feelings are coming up because they are reflective of, you know, a way I used to operate and a mindset I used to live by for, you know, X amount of years. And I'm working on remembering that not feeding myself is ultimately not serving me. It's ultimately tarnishing my body's trust with me. It's ultimately going to cause rebound eating, which will make me eat way past comfortable fullness when I finally do feel better because my body will have been deprived of nourishment. There's so many different reframes you can use. Those are just some options. But the important thing about this framework, we call this the and statement, is to acknowledge the thought, validate them, and use the word and, because and shows that you can hold two conflicting realities or thoughts at once, and reframe. So it goes, I acknowledge the thought, validate how it's making you feel, use the word and then use a reframe. So I notice I'm having these thoughts about feeling the need or feeling the desire to capitalize on my lack of appetite as an attempt to perhaps lose weight or restrict myself. These thoughts are valid considering that I used to operate from this mindset for so many years. And I'm working on remembering that restriction does not serve me in the long run. Restriction only makes me feel more out of control. Restriction only further tarnishes my trust with my body, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Any reframe could work there. So that's a framework I use with clients. It's a really helpful way to kind of work to rewire some of those neural pathways. And it requires repetition. It requires awareness of the old thought that isn't serving you. And then it requires you to kind of gently get in there and offer a reframe as to like build a new neural pathway that serves you better. So I want to say, Kayla, it's so valid. These thoughts don't go away overnight. Like, I don't know your full story, but I imagine you had been operating from those kind of disordered thoughts about capitalizing on, you know, times when you don't have an appetite as like feeling proud that you're not eating so much. I imagine you were going through that for some time. And if you are relatively new to your intuitive eating journey compared to the amount of years you had spent in diet culture, I want you to work on having grace with yourself. Like, of course, these thoughts are going to creep in. The difference is having the awareness and also like noticing the thought without acting on it is growth too. Because back in the day, there probably would have just been this like unconscious, like, oh, obviously I'm going to capitalize on this experience to restrict. Fast forward to present day, you have this awareness that that's coming from a disordered place and you have this like awareness of the icky feelings it brings up. That is so much growth in and of itself. I want you to honor that, like, it took growth to get to this point, and these thoughts don't go away overnight. Intrusive thoughts happen. Like, just noticing the thought, validating it, and reframing it can be a helpful way to handle the intrusive thought when it does pop into your brain. So thanks for that great question, Kayla. I know that other people struggle with this too. Like, I can't tell you how many clients I've spoken to about this. And also, and personally, in my own story, I have also struggled. I can also resonate with the experience of feeling like low-key excited when I got sick, because I thought like, oh yes, this is me getting to capitalize on this as like a socially acceptable excuse not to eat. And like, spoiler alert, that's never actually going to cause you to have like long-term changes in the size or shape of your body. It's never going to cause you to have, you know, more control with food. It's only going to probably tarnish your body image, tarnish your self-trust, and make you feel more out of control in the long run. So know that you're not alone. This is definitely something I know so many folks experience, and it's a great question, and it's such a win that you even have this awareness, as I've said a few times. Thank you for the great question, Kayla. So that is all we have time for today. It's such a busy time for me. So I'm trying to like have grace with myself and keep the podcast to like a manageable length right now, and just keep the podcast manageable in general for myself so that I can sustain bringing you weekly episodes. So as I mentioned before, if you have a question of your own that you want to submit for a chance to have it answered on an upcoming episode, the link to do that is in the show notes. If you want to learn more about my brand new program, The Return, which is a self-paced experience, you can get on the waitlist via the link in the show notes. And I can't wait to share more. There's so much more. It's a busy day for me, so I'm trying to respect my own boundaries and keep this to a manageable length, as I said. Thank you for being here, and I will see you next week. If you enjoyed this episode, if it inspired you, if you learned something, it would mean so much to me if you rated it and reviewed it. And if you feel called to, share it with someone who it might resonate with. You can find me on Instagram at leahkern.rd. You can also join my weekly newsletter by visiting leahkernrd.com. And I'll see you next week.